From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, August 13th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by the Dempsey Challenge. Run, walk, or bike this September to help the Dempsey Center support those impacted by cancer. DempseyChallenge.org.
The Old Town Pulp Mill reopened today, 4 years after it closed down. Randy Chicoine is the vice president of Maine operations for the mill's new owner, ND Paper. He says previous mill owners were private equity firms that focused on short-term profits, but ND Paper, a subsidiary of a Chinese company, has a long-term commitment.
You know, it's a 100-year outlook, and the investments that we're making are to benefit the community, are to benefit the employees, ultimately, you know, benefit the business.
More than 1,000 people applied for 130 job openings at the mill, which will produce unbleached softwood pulp for paper. The state commission that provides private attorneys for accused Mainers who can't afford them says it will take its time in considering the recommendations of a critical report issued last spring. Mal Leary has details.
The Maine Indigent Legal Services Commission says it will take a fresh look at how the state system fulfills its obligation to provide free legal representation for low-income Mainers accused of a crime. Commission members say they'll review the recommendations of the Boston-based Sixth Amendment Center, which has warned that Maine cannot guarantee effective representation as required by the Constitution. The group was critical of the state system for its use of private attorneys rather than public defenders. Commission members say they expect to make recommendations to the legislature that include hiring more staff to properly oversee the more than 600 lawyers that are eligible to participate in the state system. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And a Maine Republican lawmaker has filed legislation that would exempt people's veto votes from presidential primary elections. That's after two conservative groups leading campaigns to overturn new legislation say they were incorrectly told some time ago that the questions would go to ballot in June. They later found out they'd actually go to the ballot in March on the day of Maine's first presidential primary, when a heavy Democratic turnout is expected. The office has admitted the error, but says it has no discretion over when votes are scheduled. The bill won't be considered until the legislature reconvenes several months from now. In weather tonight, skies clearing with showers and storms ending around midnight and lows in the high 40s to the low 60s north to south. Tomorrow, partly sunny and less humid with highs in the low 70s to low 80s. Angry Maine lobstermen are telling federal fisheries managers they want definitive proof that their gear is entangling endangered North Atlantic right whales. And until then, they say, the feds should back off from proposed rules that could force them to modify their gear and remove half their rope from the water. Fred Bever has the story.
More than 60 lobstermen turned out in Machias Monday night for the first of four federal scoping meetings in Maine to discuss the proposed gear changes. Federal officials had hoped to hear specifics about how the new rules might change the way lobstermen harvest the crop and what it might cost them. But what the officials met was a chorus of criticism.
Guesswork and conjecture, the whole thing.
Richard Smith is a Beals lobsterman who condemned the regulators' dependence on best available science to draw conclusions about where the whales are swimming without actually being able to trace any of their deaths specifically to entanglements with lobster gear from Maine.
Your best available data is the equivalent of shutting the lights off, getting drunk, and throwing darts at a Where's Waldo on the wall.
Others complained that whale deaths appear to be happening hundreds of miles away in Canadian waters, where 20 of the animals have been found dead in the last 3 years. Joel Strout is a lobsterman from Harrington.
It's just all a bunch of foolishness. And if our neighbors to the north, Canada, can't do at least what we've done, I don't think we ought to have to do anything.
Under a trade agreement with Canada, that country must demonstrate by 2021 that its whale protection rules are comparable to those in the U.S. or suffer trade restrictions. But federal officials say that in the meantime, the U.S. government still must work to protect the whales, whose numbers, the latest data show, appear to have fallen below 400. Federal regulators have decided that for the species to survive, the number of deaths must be fewer than one a year, a rate that is far from being met.
We are still exceeding the potential biological removal level for right whales.
NOAA scientist Colleen Coogan acknowledges that trap rope from Maine has not been proven to have entangled whales, but audio recordings, satellite tracking, and sightings show that they do swim off the Maine coast, she says, and until recently congregated in the Bay of Fundy nearly every year. And Coogan says that the density of trap rope in Maine waters poses a high risk of severe injury.
When there's 600,000 lines, the chance of a whale interacting with your line might be low, but the chance of a whale reacting with a line where there's a lot of line goes up.
Despite their frustration, some lobstermen did offer insights on how the rules might affect their lives. They based those on experience with a previous requirement that they replace some of their floating lines with sinking ground lines designed to stay out of the whale's way. Charles Smith of Jonesport held up his left hand, where he says two fingers were cut off from wrestling with the sinking lines.
That's what happened to the end of those fingers, because it's all chafed up and big messes come up.
He said the new lines had cost about $10,000. Before new rules are adopted, he said, more should be done to identify exactly where whales are being injured.
I would like to see the state make sure that we get separated from everybody else on our markings and let us prove that it's not us that's killing the whales.
Federal regulators are proposing that each state in the New England fishery adopt distinctive gear markings to better track how and where the animals are becoming entangled. It's one area of agreement between some lobstermen and conservationists, such as Sean Mahoney, director of the Conservation Law Foundation's Maine chapter. But Mahoney also said this.
The whales that have been observed have almost 100% show signs of some entanglement over their lifetime. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but it's just a fact. And that's a real cause of their decline. So something has to be done. Extinction is forever.
The Conservation Law Foundation is one of several groups that has filed suit to force the government to protect the whales. The federal scoping sessions for public comment on the proposed gear changes continue in Ellsworth tonight and in Waldoboro and South Portland later this week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a conversation about reimagining the Grange. I'm Nora Flaherty.